Good morning. Well, that's better. That's better. I know the week's been kind of long, you know, but, you know, we're here to worship God, and we're here with God's people, and, well, the temperature's a little warmer today, so, you know, we're feeling great. So I want to welcome each of you here today. For those who are visiting, my name is Kevin Vryhoff. I'm a chaplain in the area and providing the services for the next couple weeks here at Crossroads, and we want to welcome each one of you. We're glad you're here to join us and just to bring our praises to the Lord here this morning. And we invite you for a time of refreshments and opportunity to fellowship together after this service. I also want to give a special welcome. James and Courtney Hellinger have been worshiping with us for a little while, and they've transferred their membership. James and Courtney, just quick stand up and wave, you know. Courtney is transferring membership from Bethel CRC, Christian Reformed Church in Sioux Center, and James from Emmanuel Christian Reformed Church in Orange City. So welcome. We look forward to the continued blessings of your fellowship and service among us. So good to have you here. And we have a few other announcements as we begin today. We're going to do our announcements up at the front here. Steve, you want to start? And yes, you will start, Steve.
Yes, yes sir. Just a couple of brief announcements on from my part. On April 22nd, we will be supplying dinner and serving down at the homeless shelter down on about 15th and Mulberry on their new in their new building. Many of you have been there, and this is something that our church has done in combination with Heartland Presbyterian Church, I think for the last year and a half or maybe even 2 years now. And in the fellowship folder, you'll see that there are some food donations that are needed, typical of what we would normally ask for. So if you can, sign up to bring a food donation. We would request that, I believe it's Tuesday is the 22nd, that if you could be there to help serve, the meals generally start about 6:15. And so you would have to arrive somewhere around 5:45 or even a little closer to 6 o'clock would be fine. At the end of that week, we are going to have the Christian Motorcycle Association rally here, and it's been held here for the last 9 or 10 years or so. And there will be a donation in the subsequent friendship folders the next 2 or 3 weeks, and some sign-ups for some help that we'll need to help prepare food, help to serve the food, and then most importantly and quickly help to clean up after all the food is served. So that's what you can look forward to as a way to offer your service to the Lord. Thanks.
And then also to take a note in the bulletin, there'll be a Mission India update after the morning service. And still in the room at the end, the children worship room, way to my right here, in the end of the hallway. So that's where that will be. We support missionaries through Mission India, so good to get an update there. Well, please stand with me now and just continue your gladness in being here by welcoming each other in the name of the Lord here today. Well, as we are gathered in the Lord's name here today, we know that God is always, always present with us by His Spirit. And this God, who is present here today, He greets us with this word: grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's praise Him.
People of His pasture and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God. And the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's my fault here. We sing the sacrifice of praise.
Psalm 37. We hear these words: commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. That's what the Lord wants to do in each of our lives as we commit to Him. We're going to talk about commitment today. God wants to do good in our lives, and He wants to do it because he loves us deeply. Let us join in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together that we can worship and praise you. Lord, you are to be honored and adored. You have given of yourself to us. You have created us. You've given your only Son. And in this time where we are looking to your journey to the cross, Lord, instill within us repentance and renewal. And help us to offer ourselves in praise to you and be lost in the wonder, love, and praise of you here today. Meet us in our need, O Lord. And do a good work in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us join in a responsive litany of confession and assurance you find on the screen in front of you. O Christ, out of your fullness we have all received grace upon grace. You are our eternal hope. You are patient and full of mercy. You are generous to all who call upon you. O Christ, fountain of life and holiness, you have taken away our sins. On the cross you were wounded for our transgressions and were bruised for our iniquities. O Christ, obedient unto death, source of all comfort, our life and our resurrection, our peace and reconciliation. O Christ, Savior of all who trust you, hope of all who die for you, and joy of all the saints. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Amen. We have opportunity also to come with our needs and concerns before the Lord. And so let's turn our hearts to God in prayer. O Lord, you are a faithful God, and you are good, and we can put our full trust in you. Lord, you are the giver of all good gifts, and we have so much to be thankful for today, for the opportunity to worship you freely here today, for the fact that you have instilled faith in our hearts, called us to faith, and are leading us down that journey of faith. We are thankful for our families, for our friends, for Christian fellowship. Thankful for the work that we have and the opportunities to serve you. We're thankful for the signs of spring and just the knowledge that the world and all seasons are in your hands. And we thank you that your promises are true. We thank you for those special moments in this past week where you've brought a smile to our face and a meaningful experience in our lives. We also confess today that you are a powerful God, and a healing God, and a refuge in times of trouble. So we ask that you'd grant healing from emotional and spiritual, mental and physical distress, whatever is going on in our lives, Lord. And we want to pray for Blanca Gifford, Lord, that you would keep cancer from her as she's having another biopsy. For Lisa Brito, that you would bring healing to her leg and bring a proper diagnosis and treatment. For Sonia Zambrano, Lord, We're thankful for your mercies to her in sparing her life. Continue to renew her and restore her to full health. We pray, Lord, that you would bless B this week as she faces surgery, Lord, that this surgery would bring her healing and would care for her health needs. We also remember her family and her son and his wife's mother's death, Lord, that you would grant comfort in this time of sorrow. Oh, Lord, be merciful to them and care for them, whatever their need is today. We pray for Gary Rootman, Lord, that you would grant healing to him as well. Lord, return him to full strength and health. Help him through this time. For LaVon Hammonds, Lord, whose cancer has raised its head in a more strong way again, Lord, we pray for healing mercies again and that you would relieve her from pain, put a hedge of protection around her. Oh, Lord, be merciful to her. We're thankful for answers to prayer on her behalf, and we continue to lay her before you. Thankful that Paul's knee is recovering well, and continue to bless them, Lord. We're thankful that Catherine could be here today and continue to give her strength from day to day and experience the fellowship of the body here, and for Jacob York as well. Bless Diana McFarland, Lord, who's having difficulty with her lungs, that you would provide easier breathing and healing to her. Lord, we also ask that you would use the activities of this church to bring honor and glory to your name, that you would work powerfully through us and in us and help our lives to be changed and help us to be a part of changing the lives of others. Lord, we pray for all the activities, the ministries and programs, the studies that go on, the service opportunities, those who are leading and those who are a part of these different ministries. Lord, bless each one of them. Lord, provide strength and wisdom in all things. Bless the renewal team and this congregation as we continue to wrestle with our direction and the things we want to focus on as a congregation. Lord, I pray for good wisdom and insight in the meeting that's coming up and blessing on Mike Johnson as he leads us through this process. Lord, we ask that you would work in our youth, that they might come to the point of confessing your name, be vibrant in faith and service. Help us to be models to our children in our homes. Let our homes be a place and experience of grace. Lord God, we pray that you would help the unsaved to come to know you and use us, your church, worldwide to be a part of bringing the good news and seeing lives transformed by the gospel. And we ask, Lord, that you would bring peace into our world and goodwill. You restrain the hand of evil. And so, Lord, as we continue in this service and as we hear your word this morning, may that word be heard and obeyed. May it bear fruit in our lives. So be with us in the coming week, Lord, and grant us courage in the face of trials, and grant us peace, and grant us the ability to love those around us, even as you have loved us. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This time we're going to stand and sing the Power of Cross, but the children worship is dismissed, and so follow the flag out, kids, and to your time of worship. There it is. And let's stand together as we sing the Power of the Cross.
Dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten men, nailed to the cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame for the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight.
By the way, we're going to try to use that as a theme song for the next few Sundays. So, I don't know if you received one on the way in or if you saw it, but there's an outline, and then also on the backside of that, some questions to ponder in the coming week just for continued reflection on the message today. So if you didn't get one on the way in, you can certainly find them on the way out today. We're going to be looking at Matthew 26 this morning, Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to be considering some of the moments in Jesus' journey to the cross over the next few weeks here. And by doing so, we're going to look at some of the characteristics that are portrayed in those scenes in this journey and see that as characteristics that are to be a part of our lives as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ. And so the theme, journeying by the cross, that each and every day we're journeying by the cross, meaning those characteristics that were evident in Jesus as he made that journey to his cross. As it says in Mark 8:34, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And you know, when a prisoner under the rule of Rome became a prisoner and was sentenced to death, he would carry his cross from the courtyard to the place of crucifixion as a sign of submission to the Roman government. And so at least in one part, when it says take up the cross, we're talking about being in submission to our Lord Jesus. So listen here to the reading of Matthew 26. This is after the disciples were in the upper room having the Lord's Supper, in which we find Peter's denial, and then they go to the garden. Hear God's word. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Well, he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Your congregation of Jesus Christ, I think we've all done things that weren't so pleasant to do, but we knew we had to do them. I mean, think of a simple little example. You know, if you get a deep cut in your hand, and you need to go to the doctor and get stitches. Well, you go to the doctor, and you know the doctor puts a little shot by the cut to numb that area a little bit, so you won't feel very much of the stitches being stitched into your skin and back and forth to put in those stitches. Now, you knew it probably would be a little painful, but you did it anyway for the good of your hand and the healing of that deep cut. Or you can think of another example. Perhaps you have a goal or an aspiration to become a concert pianist, all right? Well, to become a concert pianist, there's going to be hours and hours and hours of practice, disciplined practice, and there's going to be days where you don't really feel like going through that. It's going to be agonizing to have to go through that practicing. But you do it anyway, even if you didn't feel like it. One time, I was asked to go to a local high school and inform a young man that his father had just died of a heart attack. Not something I really wanted to do. It was painful to think about going there to inform him of that. But I went anyway. So whether it's a commitment to something or someone, the examples described above are speaking about some of the agony of commitment. And in the scripture that we read, we see that one of the characteristics of commitment is remaining committed to something that is worthy in spite of the consequences or the agony that is involved in it. So today, let's first of all consider a son's commitment to the Father. Jesus, God's Son, commitment to God the Father. Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means olive press, so we have a pretty good idea. It's an olive garden, olive tree garden, a serene place. He needs time with his Father, with our Father in heaven. This scene here provides a very clear idea of the Son's extraordinary commitment to God and to the Father, to God and the Father. Well, openly and honestly, Jesus tells his disciples, he says to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." His journey to the cross, just days away, is weighing so heavy on him that he can hardly bear it. He prayed and agonized with such intensity that it says in Luke 22, verse 44, that his sweat was like that of drops of blood. In his humanness, Jesus suffered. He agonized with the thought that on a certain day, very soon, at a certain hour, he would be murdered publicly on the most cruel form of punishment, a cross. I don't know the extent of the sorrow that you've ever had or the agony that you've ever had. But can you think about a time in your life that you experienced such overwhelming sorrow, anguish of heart? Life can get very, very rough sometimes to the point of saying, God, I can't take this anymore. Well, Jesus was saying something like that. Do I really have to do this, Father? Isn't there any other way? Jesus was going to endure the punishment for the sins of the whole world upon him and be completely forsaken by God. It's hard for us to imagine. And though we go through excruciating, difficult times, nothing can ever really compare to what Jesus went through for us. But he turns to the right place. He turns to his Father in heaven. The one who has the power to change the plan or to change the circumstances or to change the method, and the one who has the power to change Jesus' heart and attitude. But the Father didn't change the plan, neither did the Son. For Jesus and the Father are in this plan, this mission together. God the Father is not making Jesus go to the cross. The mission to save his creation and the people made in his image from the curse and consequences of sin. To save us. The world is under a curse. And the earth shakes because of it, literally. The world is full of evil, and evil things happen. We're no more morally good today than they were in Jesus' day. Sin is still present. And Jesus came to save us from the consequences of that curse and that sin. The Father willed to give up his Son to die on a cross. And Jesus, the Son, willed to give up his own life on the cross. So why? Why, if this thought was so excruciating, did he continue on that mission? Here was a decision that he had to make that was painful, but he knew he had to do it. For Jesus was committed to saving us and his world, as we hear in the words, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." And then in the second and third time Jesus prayed, the wording changes just a little from, "If it is possible to take this cup from me," he then says, "If it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, may your will be done." It's just a little nuance of difference to say he's surrendering to the Father's will. Yeah, I know it's not possible to take it away from me, but I'm struggling with it, Father. Yet he's surrendering himself to the Father's will. Why this mission? It's probably a question that continues to resound in our hearts and minds. Did it really have to be done? Well, it is the love of the triune God for all that he has made that could not and would not let us go. Not a one of us. He died for all. And if God did nothing, then Satan would have control of us and the world. But God had us in mind all along. He had us in mind. That's what commitment is about. Sticking to something for the favorable outcome, even if the path is difficult and even if it leads to death. I think of our courageous military who are willing to protect our country and that of others, knowing that their own life may at some point be taken in doing so. And similarly, our law enforcement officers and firefighters who often put themselves in harm's way. They know the potential, but they continue on in service. There are difficult things for us to do in life that are important and necessary and have great value to us and others. So the Son's commitment to the Father. This scene in the Garden of Gethsemane secondly directs our thoughts to our commitment to the Son, Jesus. For Jesus expressed complete submission to the Father's will. Christian commitment is that kind of submission. You see, the Christian life is more than just an insurance policy against hell. It's a way of life. It's a radical transformation of our lives, totally directed to Jesus, the Son. And He's our model to live by as we live the Christian life. And He's given us the ultimate example of commitment in that He willingly went to a cross and died for us. Rick Warren, pastor and author at the Saddleback Church in California, says this about commitment. Nothing shapes your life more than the commitments you choose to make. Your commitments can develop you or destroy you, but either way, they will define you. So will you commit your way to the Lord? Or will you renew that commitment today to the Lord? Will you take up your cross daily and follow Jesus, given all that He's done for you? Mother Teresa has some great lines as well. And she says, it doesn't take such a great man to be a Christian. It just takes all there is of him. Just takes all there is of him and her. Commitment. It can be tough sometimes to stay committed, can't it? You know, we are not perfect. And we know we are weak in various ways. We get tired from the pressures of life and the trials of life. Even just the normal duties of life can kind of weigh us down. But that's what's happening to the disciples here in this scene. They momentarily lost the focus and importance of what Jesus asked them to do, and they fell asleep. Are there certain ways that we and that you and I have fallen asleep in our commitment? Satan loves to lull us and the world at large to sleep. In the moment, it always seems easier to give up or to take a go-with-the-flow kind of approach to life. You ever feel like that? But think of the consequences of that kind of living. Think about some of the potential things that chisel away at our commitment. One of the things, very obviously, is suffering and hardship. Because we can get discouraged and we can start wondering, is it really worth it to continue on in this Christian journey and trusting God in and through it all? Suffering can whittle away at that commitment. And maybe Jesus was agonizing over that very question. Is it really worth it for me to go through this and suffer and die on the cross? Temptations. Temptations also whittle away at our commitment, provide a struggle in our life. Jesus was tempted in the desert early in His ministry, and how did he fight against that? He focused on the Word of God. And God is His strength. Think about things in your life, the weak areas of your life, and areas where you are most easily tempted. You have some of those? I have some of those. Areas of weakness that you constantly need to seek God's grace for and His power to overcome those temptations. What's your weakness? Perhaps certain addictions. Maybe it's on spending. Maybe it's alcohol or drugs, lustful thoughts or pornography. Or maybe it's negativity or a complaining spirit or gossip. It's easy to go and get in that mindset. Focus on Jesus and His Word. Turn to the Father. Focus on His will. Thirdly, a third thing that can chisel away at our commitment is just the idea of living by the feelings in the moment. Yes, feelings are a part of who we are. Life would be kind of blah without them, right? Jesus had and expressed feelings, as we see in this text. He was troubled and sorrowful. Feelings are important, but not when we are deciding and acting just based on feelings. Our commitments need to be tied to some truth or standard. Now, I heard on the little news piece, and I didn't get the full story or have all the names. Maybe you heard it as well. But I think it's at least the man in this relationship, I think he's a singer, a popular singer, but he and his wife are getting a divorce after 10 years of marriage. They were talking about this on the news. And I know divorce happens, and it needs all our understanding and care and counseling needed in those situations. But this couple and the psychologist that was working with them are calling it conscious uncoupling. Conscious uncoupling. Because divorce has a lot of negative baggage. They want to take the negative baggage away from couples splitting up. And then the psychologist goes on to say that we are not designed to be in a committed relationship for more than 10 or 15 years. That's a thought not tied to a certain truth. And it's going to lead to more making decisions based on feelings. Or think about another example of, you know, how many of you really felt like coming here this morning? You don't have to raise your hand. I don't know. Even I sometimes, when I've gone to preach somewhere, I haven't always gotten a feeling like I really want to go. But why do you come? You have a commitment. It's a commitment based on some truth or standard and desire that you have. So if decisions like this are based simply on feelings, no, you wouldn't come here very consistently, would you? A fourth thing that chisels away at commitment is self-centered individualism. Just caring about oneself, not thinking about the bigger picture of how what you are doing or saying is affecting the people around you in the broader world even. I was standing in line at a business this week, and there was a guy behind me, like two people between me and him, and he was quite vocal and loud, and he was kind of talking to the guy right next to me, but I was catching a lot of what was here, but not everything he was saying. But he was complaining, you know, his wife's doing this, and, you know, he goes and, you know, gets the paycheck, and she spends it, and, you know, when he gets to retirement, there's going to be no Social Security, and you know, going on and on. And he comes to the conclusion, and he said, well, I guess it's, I just got to think about myself, and it's all about me. He was like, yeah, I know that's out there, but, you know, someone being so vocal about it. Unfortunately, a man like that is going to die alone, right? Things chisel away at commitments. And we always need to examine our commitments and be on guard, just like Jesus asked the disciples, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And so when our commitments seem to be crumbling, read a passage like this and think about how committed Jesus was and is to you and I. That'll fuel your fire again. And in spite of the agony Jesus encountered thinking about his own death, he stuck with the plan because of his great love for you and me. And so I ask you today, is Jesus your Lord or not? And are you all out fully committed to him? Be in relationship with him and all that means and all that he asks of us for our good. Are you sticking with him for the long haul? The Audi car company would have you committed to them as far as choice of cars. Have you heard that commercial lately? One of the lines in the commercial is this: whatever you do, stay uncompromised. meaning don't settle for less than the best. Choose Audi. And I'm saying to us today, whatever you do, choose Jesus every day. Stay uncompromised. So just a few things on what is needed for commitment. One thing that's needed is focus. Keep the goal or the mission in mind. The ultimate goal is to be on the winning team over evil so we can be with Jesus forever and ever. You keep that bigger picture in mind. I mean, think about it. If you want a spouse and family of good character, you want a spouse and family that's loving and serving the Lord and following the Lord, you make decisions and commitments today for your own personal growth so that your life can be a model and be of influence to your spouse and to your children. You teach your children about the Lord then, and you teach them that bad behavior has consequences in the way you discipline them. And you shower them with love and acceptance, even as God has showered that upon us. The second thing needed for a commitment is offering time and talents. You know, we want to make a difference through our time and talents that we offer, but willingly having that desire to offer ourselves so that we can, you know, leave our fingerprints in this world in some way. You want to be of influence for the good to those closest to you, to your church and your workplace and the world at large. Again, Mother Teresa has said this great line, God does not ask about our ability or inability, but about our availability. Offering time and talents is needed for commitment. Secondly, faithfulness. And I just made up this other word along with faithfulness, stick-to-itiveness. You know, you just stick to it. Stick to the plan. Stick to the commitment. Be faithful in your duties and the things you love to do and want to do for the Lord. Carry through on your commitments. And then finally, surrender. Surrender is needed. Sure, we need focus. Sure, we need some effort to follow Jesus. I mean, if you're having one of those days you're not feeling like getting up for worship, you got to literally get your body out of bed and make some effort and mental effort to get up and get out. It takes some effort, some discipline, but it's not first of all about our own dogged determination. Well, I want you to hear that. It's not first of all about that determination to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. It's not about our willpower or our strength. It's about staying surrendered to the Lord. We give up ourselves and our control of things and let Jesus live in and through us. And we say, your will be done in my life, Lord. So just like Jesus was surrendered to the Father, we are surrendered to Jesus. I don't know if you've seen it lately. I've taken time to see it. There are signs of commitment here in this church all over the place. This church would not exist without the commitment of each of you in the chairs here today. It may look a little different from one person to the next, but our youth are committed. They take part in youth group, in Sunday school, in Awana, to learn more about their relationship with God and what He's done for them, and what God calls them to do. Many of our youth have given up time to volunteer with the Serve Project during the summer, along with some leaders. Adults have served the church by coming to worship and doing all sorts of things, serving coffee and maintaining the grounds, gathering in small groups, leading a group, serving on a committee, serving at the Iowa shelter, offering financial gifts and food, and serving as elder or deacon, offering musical talent, helping with sound and video, and greeting in a friendly way as people come into church. And I'm very thankful and impressed, very thankful and impressed with the number of participants that we have had in our renewal sessions with Mike Johnson, the brainstorming sessions. It's a time commitment. It can be hard mental work and exhausting, but your commitment to this church in this way and in all those other ways is evident, and it's worth it. Stick with it, because we're not finished yet. And God is not finished with us yet. In all of these, in all of our Christian commitments, we have this commitment to the Lord, living for Jesus. That affects all our other commitments. But you stay committed, no matter what the consequence. You could lose your job because you make a choice to do right. You could lose a relationship. You could lose some money. You could lose some popularity. You could lose life itself in certain circumstances. Because of your commitment to live for the Lord and not back down from that, will your commitment to Jesus take you that far? This, in part, is what Jesus was saying, as recorded in Mark 8, 34 to 36. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Speaking to our youth today who are here, commitment is sticking by what you know is right when you are pressured to do wrong. It might mean giving up, you know, a pursuit of that gorgeous babe or that manly hunk. Might be a nice person, but you get to a point and if you come into a relationship with that gorgeous babe or that manly hunk and they start pressuring you to have sex, time to say no. Do what is right. Or it could even mean if you're out with some friends and pressure to stay out a little bit later, that you do what is right and obey the curfew that your parents have set for you. Youth or adult, you may be sensing that God is calling you to a certain ministry or occupational calling or a change in such, but you come up with all kinds of reasons not to pursue it. Ask yourself the question, am I running away like Jonah, who ran from God's call to him to go preach to Nineveh? Or maybe you commit to something new, but you bail out when the first hardship comes. Facing hardship doesn't mean it was a wrong decision. It is likely a very right decision that Satan wants to destroy. And in all these things, remember that God's power, just go for it, because God's power is with you. And trust Him to take care of you and take the good with the bad. Today, remember the commitment that Jesus has already shown to you and will show to you. He didn't bail on you or on me. He went all the way to the cross for you and for me. Can any one of us really reject Him and what He has done on the cross by being indifferent or apathetic? Realize today how much is at stake when we are falling asleep with regards to our commitment to Jesus. It affects our growth and our relationship to God. It affects the vitality of His church, affects our witness, our work, our family, our other relationships. But Jesus is there all the way with us to stand by us, to help us, to give us strength and courage. He wants to use you and me to bless those around us, bless His church and the world. And so, as committed followers of Jesus, commit your way to the Lord. And when you do this, your righteousness will shine like the dawn. As followers of Jesus Christ, go forward with the attitude of Jesus. Not my will, but yours be done. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, take our lives and let them be instruments in Your hands for good. empower us and strengthen us. Renew our commitments wherever we are falling asleep and lagging. Help us to spend time in reflecting on that this week and to call upon you for strength and help. Lord, we need you. We need your Spirit within us to keep us focused on who you are and what you are about and what you call us to do. So hear us. In Jesus' name, amen. In Romans chapter 12, just these few verses calling us to commitment as we go from this place. Therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let us respond by offering our sacrifices of praise and our gifts for benevolence this morning. While we begin this song, Lift High the Cross, your offering will be received for benevolence. Now this parting word of blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
worthy is the Lamb, for you are holy, holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb.